Good morning from 58 WCHS, the voice of Charleston. Here it is, the last Monday of July, 2010. I am Rick Johnson. Our producer is Anthony Harmon. And along the way, our phone number, you might want to call in. Who knows? 304-345-5858. 304-345-5858 on Ask the Expert with Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center. And with us is Jeannie Kay. Good morning, Jeannie.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm great, and it's always good to be here. Thanks for having us back.
It's always nice to have you guys here. And why don't you introduce our special guest?
I am so glad to present the newest member of our staff at Kanawha Pastoral Counseling, Dr. Jack Stringfellow. I want to tell you just a little bit about his credentials, because then you'll know you can really trust what he says. Jack is a licensed professional counselor, as are all of our counselors. And Jack is also a certified rehabilitation counselor, an internationally certified advanced addictions counselor, and an internationally certified criminal justice addictions professional. And Dr. Stringfellow received his master's degree from the University of South Florida and his Doctor of Science in Rehabilitation Counseling from Boston University. He's also a member of the Motivational Interviewing Network of Trainers, and Jack has trained professionally in the health field with a focus on interpersonal skills for over 25 years. And in addition to his current activities of counseling and also providing training, he serves as adjunct faculty in the Community Behavioral Health Program of Kanawha Valley Community and Technical College.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And he has a cough.
A little bit.
A little bit of a tickle in the throat.
Hopefully it'll go away for this hour.
I have my cough drop ready.
Okay. Hey, welcome to the program. And you know, shall we call you Dr. Stringfellow?
No, you should call me Jack.
Okay. I always like to get that right out. My first question would be, how would you define, and we're going to talk about substance abuse and addiction, by the way. That'll be our primary focus in this hour. How would you define addiction?
How would I define an addiction? There's several different ways of doing that. One would be sort of just the common intuitive sense of what addiction is. There is a technical definition. I could possibly give you both. Hmm. Let me start with the technical.
Okay.
The way it's determined is by looking at a person's behavior. There is no biological marker. You can't take an X-ray and say, "Oh, there's the addiction." You know, you can't.
No blood test at all.
No blood test. No PET scan. So basically, you have to just watch what a person is doing. What's looked for in dependence on any given substance would include tolerance, which is to say, with most addictions, what happens is over a period of time, the longer you're using the substance, or the longer you are spending more time than you should with pornography, or the longer you are eating in peculiar ways for various kinds of gratification, usually it's required that you do more and more of it in order to keep the same effect going. So that's tolerance. You would also look for withdrawal if whatever the addiction is to is absent. People will go through some sort of distress, and sometimes it's very serious distress.
Mm-hmm.
We would look for a loss of control. A person is using some substance or some other kind of gratification, and once they get started, there's no stopping. It's the old saying, one's too many and a million's not enough. And once that line is crossed, control is gone.
Yeah.
We'd also look for what happens eventually is a person gets to a point where they start to recognize that there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Usually they tend to minimize the problem at first, but they're starting to recognize it. And the way people tend to respond to that is to try to cut down.
On their own?
On their own, yes. And as people try to cut down, the mistake that most folks tend to make is they will substitute something else for the one that's causing a problem. So, you know, it's like, okay, I've been drinking too much Jack Daniels, it's just beer from now on. Or I've been drinking too much beer, it's just Jack Daniels from now on. Or too much alcohol, it's marijuana from
now on. I smoked cigarettes a long time ago and decided, oh, this is bad for me. So I switched from that to smokeless tobacco.
Exactly.
Yeah, good
and
move.
gives an illusion. And sometimes, actually, I have to admit, a person might be moving to something a little less toxic. That does happen sometimes. But usually what happens, too, is that indulging in whatever it is they choose to substitute with acts as a stepping stone back to whatever it was they were doing, particularly in the case of intoxicants like alcohol or opiates or marijuana, because all of those affect judgment. So the person with the best of intentions will substitute something, and let's say that they're concerned about their marijuana use. No more marijuana. It's alcohol from now on. So they take a drink, and at that point, their judgment is impaired because of the alcohol. And so it's very easy to, you know, let's forget about the switch. We'll just go back to what I want to do now anyway. And so those attempts at control often fail.
Does the same apply to things like gambling?
Yes, absolutely. Almost one-to-one correlations on all points. It's just a different sort of activity involved. But actually, gambling itself involves some chemistry, because gambling produces changes in this, you know, in the brain of a person mm-hmm. who is in the activity of gambling.
I heard one said, and I never thought of it in this term or these terms, and that is, I know that there has to be a rush. I call it adrenaline, whatever it might be in the brain, when you're winning at the table. But someone told me, yeah, there's also a rush when you're losing.
Yes.
At the table. That's what keeps you sitting there.
Yes.
It's not just the winning, but it's the losing.
Yes, it's all the brain chemistry around it. Actually, they say that there are different physiological reactions going on, even according to what type of gambling you may be doing. For people who are playing the table games, there's one sort of brain chemistry happening. If you ever happen to be in a casino, just stand and watch the people playing the slots. If you look carefully, you will see rows of people in a trance.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether they're winning or losing.
And that's a totally different aspect of the brain that's into the moment?
Mm-hmm. Different kinds of brain chemistry, basically, is what it comes down to. And actually, that's kind of what all the substances and activities to which people become addicted, it usually comes down to brain chemistry.
345-5858 is our phone number if you have a question for Dr. Jack Stringfellow about substance abuse, addictions. Our lines are open at 345-5858. Jeannie, I know sometimes people feel a little bit uncomfortable about calling in and perhaps discussing an addiction that they may have. How could they get in touch with someone at the Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center?
It's easy. Just give us a call at 304-205-WELL. 205-WELL. The numbers are 205-9355. And you can get some information there, set up an appointment with a counselor, or just get a little bit of information.
And the locations?
We have four locations. Our main office is inside the First Presbyterian Church building at the corner of Leon Sullivan Way and Virginia Street. We also have an office at Christ Church United Methodist in town. And we have a counselor at Cabin Creek Health Center and one at River Valley Health and Wellness in Ravenswood. But you can call the 205-WELL number for an appointment at any of those locations.
All right. Our phone number on the air, again, is 304-345-5858. There's all kinds of different addictions, but substance abuse, I think, probably is the one that is really got its hooks into our society, because there are so many substances.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, it seems like now the trend, if you will, is prescription medications.
Yes, indeed.
And younger people are now getting into those.
Yes, indeed.
So what do you say to us right now in terms of substance abuse and the prevalence in our society and prescription medications especially?
When I think about substances that people use recreationally, when I think about substances to which people become addicted, my own personal philosophy on that is that there is no such thing as a good drug or a bad drug. There are very few substances, I can't think of any right offhand, that have no value to society. If you look at most substances, mm-hmm. even the ones that have been sort of demonized, things like heroin and so forth, you know, if you looked hard enough, scratched the surface enough, you would find some people who are actually benefiting from their use. It may be harder to see with some substances than others, but yeah, they all have their value. The problem comes with people using them to excess. You know, and anything to excess becomes problematic.
Mm-hmm.
Another problem that we're experiencing in our particular culture here in the 21st century is that if you went back a couple of centuries, the substances that most people were using for recreation were, in general, of a much less toxic nature. If you take something like heroin, okay, heroin's grandfather is opium, coming from the poppy plant, used in moderation, and there are, you know, cultures where it is used in moderation, and use is akin to the role that alcohol plays in our society. Opium is not as concentrated as heroin. Heroin has an intense concentration of the pleasurable substances and the pleasurable reactions that the body takes to it.
Mm-hmm.
When you get the concentrated form, you're dealing with a much harder impact, much more quickly. That raises the addiction potential. And so you have an increase in, you know, the probability that somebody will become addicted or to go to another substance. The grandfather of cocaine is the coca plant in South Africa, or South America, sorry. The Native Americans will chew on the leaves of the coca plant, be sucking a lime while they're doing it, and it gets the chemical reaction in their mouth, and they're getting the cocaine effect. But they're getting the cocaine effect in a much milder and more gradual state.
More natural state.
More natural and more gradual as well.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've done here in the United States is we've taken those coca leaves and we've refined them. And so you have just the, you know, the pure essence, intoxicating essence of the plant. And not happy with the intensity of the intoxication of cocaine, we further refined it and we have crack, which delivers a blow to your psychological chemistry. They say that it's, you know, 1,000 times stronger than anything that would ever happen naturally.
And which then, to follow that progression, makes it more addictive?
Yes, yes. One of the factors in addiction is how quickly the jolt is delivered.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking back, I wonder who the first person was way back who said, let me try this leaf. Let me just chew on this for a while and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, was it accidental, you think? Or has there been any studies on this or research? Who was the first person to go, hey, I think I found something here?
There are theories on that. One interesting tale I've been hearing recently is about a drug that is acquiring popularity in some quarters. I haven't heard about it around here at all, but it's a brew. The Native Americans the Amazon region use, and it's called ayahuasca, and it's composed of dimethyltryptamine and some other chemicals. When the Native Americans use it, in order to make use of it, they have to use the bark of this vine,
yeah,
and the leaves of this plant. Now, in the Amazon, there are, you know, hundreds of thousands of plant life forms, and you just wonder how on earth did they ever know to mix this one with this one to get the effect. The Native Americans, in their, you know, mythology, they say that the spirit of the plants told them, go get this one to mix with this one.
So the earliest origins of substances like that, was it for religious purposes primarily, in part of the religion and the culture?
Certainly it has been used for those purposes. And it, you know, it's really hard to say because it's been around for probably hundreds of thousands of years, as long as there's been any semblance of mm-hmm. you know, society. What is interesting, though, is there really is no culture on the planet, and you know, there are thousands of cultures, and there is no known culture on a planet that has not had some substance that they use to alter their consciousness. In fact, some people are positing the theory that the drive to alter your consciousness is as natural and powerful as the drive to eat, as the drive to have sex, because you find it everywhere.
So it's something in our genetic makeup?
That's the theory. It, like many things around substance abuse, it has yet to be proven, but there are people theorizing that, and I'm inclined to believe that myself.
Dr. Jack Stringfellow is our guest this morning with the Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center. Our phone number on the air for your question about substance abuse and addiction, 345-5858. We're back in a moment on WCHS.
WCHS!
Total customer care. That's what makes Midas different. It's how we get to know you and your car, explain things in a way you'll understand, and give you service and repair options that respect your budget. From routine maintenance like oil changes, tires, and brakes, to advanced engine diagnostics and major system repair. Come to Midas and see the difference total customer care can make. People and prices you can trust. That's the Midas touch.
Most people don't like to talk in the morning. At Subway, we get that. Want a tasty breakfast without the jibber-jabber? Just point. Point at the jalapenos, fresh tomatoes, Black Forest ham, anything you want in your breakfast sandwich. It's easy. We'll make it for you, like the Western Egg White Muffin Melt or the Double Bacon and Cheese Omelet on Flatbread. Get a freshly brewed Seattle's Best Coffee, too. Get the point? Hurry in, and let us build your better breakfast today. Subway. Eat fresh.
Products may vary, may be available from opening to 11 a.m. at participating restaurants.
July is one hot month with new scratch-off tickets from the West Virginia Lottery. Be sure to play Greener Pastures, Cash on the Spot, or Pink Panther, where you could win up to $33,333 instantly. Prizes for these three games total more than $4 million. Scratch-off games from the West Virginia Lottery. Stop by the next lottery retailer you see and play today. You just might win some hot summer cash. Please play responsibly.
According to recent statistics, more than 700 people were killed in work zone crashes in the U.S., and 90% of these fatalities were motorists and passengers, with the others being road workers. Work zones are serious business. To avoid devastating consequences, obey the work signs, keep your cool, and be patient. Pay attention and be prepared to expect the unexpected. Work zones need our undivided attention. Work zone safety is everyone's responsibility. This safety message brought to you by the West Virginia Department of Transportation, Division of Highways, saving one life at a time.
Total customer care. That's what makes Midas different. It's how we get to know you and your car, explain things in a way you'll understand, and give you service and repair options that respect your budget. From routine maintenance like oil changes, tires, and brakes, to advanced engine diagnostics and major system repair, come to Midas and see the difference total customer care can make. People and prices you can trust. That's the Midas touch.
No matter what your level of ability, you have the right to vote, and your vote counts. West Virginia Advocates reminds the disability community that voting your conscience protects your liberties. When you vote, you have hands in electing people who speak for you, our leaders in charge of government. Your vote may help elect people who decide on the rights, funding, program services, and supports you need. West Virginia Advocates Protection and Advocacy Voting Access Program ensures individuals with disabilities have full participation in the electoral process. If you are not already registered to vote, register now. For more information or assistance, call 800-950-5250 or go to wvadvocates.org on the web. That's 800-950-5250 or wvadvocates.org. People with disabilities vote. Funding provided by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families.
If you own a newly constructed home, you might not think you need a home inspection, but having a full home inspection before your contractor's warranty expires is essential in protecting both you and your contractor. It identifies issues that need to be addressed under that warranty before it expires. Many minor concerns can become major problems later, costing you more later. Contact Advantage Home and Environment Inspections before your new home warranty expires. Call 768-5446 or visit online at AdvantageHomeWV.com.
WCHS, the voice of Charleston, Ask the Expert this morning with Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center. Jeannie Kay is here and Dr. Jack Stringfellow, and we're talking about substance abuse and addiction and addictions. And if you have a question, our phone number is 345-5858, 304-345-5858. And Jeannie, of course, the Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center offers services to those who may not have any kind of a substance abuse, but other programs as well.
Oh, yes. We offer counseling for depression, grief, violence, abuse, anxiety, stress, guilt, whatever's leading you to live less than a happy life. We have counselors of all faith backgrounds to help you. And we are Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center, and that means you have the option of including your spiritual life in your counseling. You don't have to be, quote-unquote, religious to receive our services. But if you want your spiritual life included, then we have counselors of all faith backgrounds that will be glad to help you with that. And I do want to mention real quickly that we accept most insurance, and we also offer a sliding fee scale for those who don't have adequate resources to pay for counseling, and that's due to a lot of generous donors that we have. And also, we have counselors who are willing to discount their rates to help folks who need counseling but don't have the resources to pay for that.
All right, and the phone number again.
205-WELL. That's the phone number for our counseling center, area code 304-205-WELL.
Dr. Jack Stringfellow with us, and we kind of curtailed the definition of addiction, so go ahead and finish that up for us.
Okay, I'd be glad to. So where we were was talking about the efforts to cut down, and there's a variety of ways. I was mentioning one common one, which is substituting. Another is one that's known in the trade as the geographic cure.
Geographic cure.
Yes, at some point in a person's career of addiction, it frequently happens that the train of thought goes something like this. Yes, I have a bit of a problem here, but it's not really me. It's this town. There's nothing else to do here. Everybody's a drunk. And if I just go someplace else, it's all going to become okay. And usually they choose someplace with lots of palm trees and beaches and ultimately beach bars. And,
sure.
And they're right back where they started from. You know, you cannot run away from this kind of trouble.
You take it with you, right?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Or you'll certainly recreate it very quickly. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, another thing to look for around dependence of a substance is you will just see the acquisition and the consumption of the substance becoming the person's primary activity. More and more time is spent thinking about it and talking about it and getting it and getting the money to get it and stashing it. And actually, it's a lot of work to be an addict. It's a lot of work. It's a full-time job to be an addict, which is one of the reasons why addicts tend to become very good at enlisting help.
Creative.
Yes, they get downright creative. And they will find people who, you know, will hook into that need, and they will find a way to enlist people who will assist them.
Those would be the enablers?
Those would be the enablers, yes, indeed. And again, without the enablers, a person probably couldn't successfully carry off being an addict because it is so much hard work.
I'm a big fan of the program Intervention on, I guess, A&E, which shows us the really horrible results of someone who is terribly addicted to, if it's alcohol or drugs. And the family, the way that their addiction rips up the family,
yes,
is the most incredible thing I think about the program. And it's not a ripple effect, it's a tsunami effect,
mm-hmm,
on the entire family. And how does a family, I mean, what would be your suggestion to the family of someone who is addicted but they don't recognize their addiction, they don't claim their addiction, they continue to live in their addiction, and as you say, it gets progressively worse on everyone?
What would be my advice to the family?
To the family.
Simple. Go to Al-Anon. Al-Anon, mm-hmm, is an organization related to Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous and so forth, the 12-step programs. Al-Anon is a support mode specifically for people who have people close to them who are addicts. And there are an awful lot of people in that situation. They, right, say, if you just look at alcohol addiction, one in three families has somebody with an alcohol problem.
One in three?
One in three, yes. I should throw a couple statistics out at this point to sort of illustrate, mm-hmm, the enormity of the problem. They say that there are 2 million Americans who have severe alcoholism problems. Or another way of looking at that is 1 in 20 Americans has an alcohol problem. You go out in the street, count 20 people walking by, probably one of them statistically was an alcoholic. That's an enormous problem. Mm-hmm. And to spread that out then into families, there are an awful lot of families that have that sort of problem going on.
And I think the common thread among the families seems to be a sense of hopelessness, that they're going to be strapped to this person for the rest of their natural born days, and that they're going down with them, and there's nothing they can do. But you say a program like Al-Anon can give them the tools they need to do what? To close the door on the addict?
If that's what's required, the overt mission of those organizations is to rescue people from that feeling that they're going to go down with that person. And so it's essentially about survival.
Mm-hmm.
And along with that, though, is how best do you help the person who is experiencing addiction? And so, again, the name of that organization is Al-Anon. They can be found. Any large community will have such a group, and they're well worth looking up.
And I think you will find probably their definition of helping someone in that place is different than what we would think helping would be.
It's certainly not enabling.
There you go.
180 degrees from enabling.
304-345-5858 if you have a question on the air for Dr. Jack Stringfield about we're talking about addictions and substance abuse. If you have any kind of question, if perhaps someone in your family is going through that, it means you're going through it. 304-345-5858 is the number. We're back in a moment on Ask the Expert with Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center on WCHS.
WCHS!
In West Virginia, the law states you have the right to choose your auto glass replacement company. Call Guardian Auto Glass for the easiest glass claim reporting. Together, we can call your insurance company's glass claim administrator. Schedule your repair or replacement today. Whether cash or insurance, call Guardian Auto Glass for competitive pricing. Fast mobile service, certified technicians, a lifetime no-leak warranty, and the safest installation always. Call Guardian Auto Glass, 304-346-2550.
Hi, my name is Patty. I've operated a BP station for 10 years. Over the years, we've had dozens of neighborhood people work for us and help our station grow. In that time, I've always stood by BP because they stand behind their products. We're all very concerned about the situation in the Gulf, but we know BP is doing everything possible to ensure the leak is stopped and the shoreline is protected. As part of the local business community, I'm grateful for the support of our customers, neighbors, and friends. We're here to serve you and your neighborhood. Thank you for your business.
Taking care of your family doesn't leave much time to think about the future. Modern Woodmen of America can help. Our local advisors can analyze your financial needs, helping you create a financial plan that's best for you. Isn't it time you found someone you trust with your future?
This is Earl Hardiker, your West Virginia Modern Woodmen Regional Director, located here in Charleston, West Virginia. If you're looking for a career or financial services, call me today.
Modern Woodmen of America.
Modern Woodmen, touching lives, securing futures.
Congress is considering as much as $80 billion in new taxes on America's oil and natural gas industry. What do Americans have to say?
Well, I'm against it because this would really hurt our economy.
I think it would be a terrible idea.
I don't think it's a good time to be raising taxes on companies.
This is certainly not the time to raise taxes.
Because right now, I think a lot of people are scraping by just being able to afford what they can afford. It can become really tough on us.
It would take money away from local businesses and stores. People would just be more in a bind. I think it's not a good idea.
Some people are just barely holding on. When politicians raise taxes, that we, the working people, get hurt the most.
Tax on energy is not good for me. It's absolutely not good for the economy, and it is not good for our country.
To learn more and get involved, log on to energytomorrow.org.
The energy tax is more than an energy tax. It's taxing everyone.
This message is brought to you by the American Petroleum Institute.
Buy a TV and entertainment system from a big box store, and you get a TV and entertainment system. Good luck setting it up. But buy the same system at Sedaros, and you don't just buy a TV. Their experts deliver, install your components, cable it all together, even program your remote. All you have to do is push the on button. Get the Sedaros treatment today, only at Sedaros, your electronics resource for 59 years. Now at 304 Washington Street West in Charleston. Sedaros, get the picture?
58 WCHS, the voice of Charleston. It's Ask the Expert this morning with Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center here in Charleston. Their office is, the main office is First Presby on Leon Sullivan Way, also office at Christ Church United Methodist here in Charleston, Cabin Creek Health Center, River Valley Health and Wellness in Ravenswood, and of course at all locations, ample free parking. And the phone number is 304-205-WELL. 304-205-WELL. Jeannie Kay is with us from Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center. And with us is Dr. Jack Stringfellow, a licensed professional counselor, and certainly can help us with substance abuse and addiction. And one of the more prevalent drugs in our community seems to be meth. And from what I've, a little bit I've heard about meth and studied about meth, it is a horrible drug that just absolutely ravages your body. And as I've heard over the years, maybe I'm wrong, it is extremely addictive. And going through rehabilitation for meth, I'm sure it's a possibility, but that many people come back. I mean, or they start reusing after they get out of rehab and counseling. What's the deal with meth?
Well, before I go into meth specifically, I should maybe mention that there are stages that people go through in the process of changing behaviors, and that would go through what people call pre-contemplation, which is where you have basically no interest whatsoever in changing. Mm-hmm. At some point, that might change into what they call the contemplation stage, where you're beginning to think about changing, but you're not there yet. In fact, you're pretty ambivalent about it. Some days it sounds like a good idea. Some days it doesn't sound like a good idea at all. And then people, having thought about it enough, may get to a point where their ambivalence is getting resolved, and they start to decide, you know what, I really do need to change this. And the way you recognize that is where a person will start to talk to other people about the intention to change. Usually when people start talking about giving something up, mm-hmm. they're getting pretty serious, because they have to go through the embarrassment of empty promises if they don't follow through with it. So people will kind of hold back on those. At some point, though, people do start to get ready, and they start to get more committed to it. And at some point, they will enter what they call the action stage, which is where you see the person actually start to do things differently. The person who is a meth addict, for example, actually gives it up. Okay, at that point, he's in the action stage. If you've ever gone on a diet, or you've ever vowed you're going to stop watching quite so much TV and start exercising on a regular basis, mm-hmm. if you've ever tried to quit smoking, you know that when you first start changing your behavior, it's extremely difficult. It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of focus. And particularly if what you were doing was something that brought you comfort, the first major stressor you run up against, like with smoking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To heck with the quitting smoking, I need a cigarette. you have to stay tightly focused to stay on that track. The good news is, at some point, things start to get remarkably easier. The behavior has changed. You're getting reinforced for changing the behavior. You're getting the rewards for changing your behavior. And people are giving you a lot of attaboys, and you're feeling good about yourself. And it just becomes, the change starts to become more part of your life.
Are there mental, physical, and spiritual changes that come with that too? I mean that take over from the substance. I mean, that give you satisfaction in life to a point where you feel like you don't need those other things.
Certainly, other satisfactions are important. Certainly, often addiction is undertaken as a substitute for something that is missing.
Mm-hmm.
It can be looked at in terms of emotionality, can be looked at in terms of spirituality. From the spiritual angle, there is a lot of evidence that indicates that spirituality is sort of the opposite of addiction. In fact, that's why organizations like Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous do have a real strong emphasis on the spiritual. It's been said that addiction is filling a God-shaped hole in a person.
And what about the physical part? Is there an actual physical change in the person once they've stopped using that that substance, whatever it is, or stopped the addictive behavior, and they've moved past it a certain span of time, whether it's days or weeks, months? Is there something physically within them that changes as well?
A lot of that depends on the substance that they were using. some substances cause much greater change in the physiology of a person than do others, and some have more long-lasting changes. Probably the longest-lasting changes occur around, again, brain chemistry. For example, in the case of something like crack cocaine or meth, one of the ways that they tend to operate is that when you take these substances, your brain is flooded with a neurotransmitter called dopamine. Dopamine is the message carrier within our brain that is specialized around transmitting joy.
Mm-hmm. Which is a good thing.
Which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
In moderation.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a bad thing when the person discovers that they can experience joy anytime they choose to. Just take the substance. And from a purely rational basis, one could think, why would I want to feel normal? Or certainly, why would I want to feel bad when all I have to do is take the substance and I'm going to feel great? And I know I'm going to feel great as soon as I take the substance. And not just feel good, I'm going to feel great. They say that with crack cocaine, for example, the brain has over 1,000 times as much dopamine flowing around in it as it would ever in any natural state. That's the intensity of joy that we're talking about here. And so the person starts doing that more and more often. The problem with doing it more and more often is that the brain has a great deal of development around being sensitive to the balance of the chemistry. And it picks up on the fact that, hey, we have a lot of dopamine flowing around here, more than there's supposed to be. Maybe what we need to do is cut back production of dopamine. And so the brain starts to cut back natural production of dopamine. So you got to just do a little more of the drug. Mm-hmm. And
to make up for that,
you get to the same place. And so that's the tolerance effect. What happens, though, is in time, the brain has for so long been picking up, there's a vast excess of dopamine here. We might as well shut down the factory. They don't need us anymore. So the factory shuts down. There you have the person who's become addicted to crack cocaine. They decide that they want to stop taking crack cocaine because it is one of the more destructive of the chemicals that people use. The person stops using crack cocaine, and all of a sudden, there's no dopamine there. There's no dopamine there. That means there's no joy. And that person finds themselves in a very gray, unhappy world. The lasting effect of that is they're saying that it takes about 2 years before the brain starts producing dopamine at a normal level again. What that means is 2 years without joy. Can you imagine 2 years without joy? So it's no surprise that people relapse.
And the withdrawal period. I mean, if somebody goes into rehab, there's what, days or weeks they have to go through withdrawal. Correct? I mean,
depending on the substance.
Let's say it's alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, from what I understand, that's you're physically sick. So does that say that this is more of a physical addiction than it is any other kind of addiction? If the withdrawal is the majority of the withdrawal physical, or is it something else? It would appear to be physical.
Well, actually, it's all physical. Like, for example, crack cocaine is not a drug that people think of as physically addictive. They think of it as having a psychological addiction. But I was just describing the physiological aspect of it. It comes down to chemistry. Yeah. But it still makes sense to think in terms of physical and psychological addiction, because with some substances such as alcohol, such as the benzodiazepines like Valium and Klonopin and Xanax, if you stop taking those suddenly, and you've been doing a lot of them for a long time, the body goes through intense reactions to it. In fact, with those two that I just mentioned, alcohol and the benzodiazepines, people die withdrawing. The body goes into shock. People have convulsions, seizures, and they die from that.
That's a good point. I mean, if someone is wanting to stop alcohol, stop the use, should they stop it on their own, or should they seek help?
I say that if a person has been using a lot of alcohol very often for a long time, they're best to do it under medical supervision. Actually, in terms of deadliness of withdrawal, alcohol is the deadliest withdrawal there is.
Is it really?
Yes, it is. And so, you know, just stopping cold turkey all of a sudden is a very dangerous thing to do. What happens is that people go into a state they call delirium tremens, DTs.
Mm-hmm.
That's where people see the pink elephants and, you know, the green lizards and the spiders under their skin and all of that in a real intense hallucinatory state. And basically the body is going into very severe shock. Just to kind of outline the dangerousness involved here, they say that out of 100 people who quit alcohol suddenly, 15 will go into delirium tremens, the DT state. Mm-hmm. Of those 15 who go into the DT state, 65% of those will die in a state of withdrawal. So alcohol withdrawal is a very dangerous proposition. And it needs to be done. It's best done under medical supervision. If somebody absolutely refuses to have medical care for it, certainly it should happen very slowly. That's sort of the wisdom among alcohol circles. Don't stop suddenly.
Is consuming small amounts of alcohol during your withdrawal something recommended? Because I've heard that. I've heard that among alcoholics who have decided they're going to go through their form of withdrawal, but part of that process is consuming small amounts of alcohol, according to them.
Actually, there is some truth in that, because that's very much akin to what they would get if they were at a, what they call a detox center, a detoxification program. Actually, what they will tend to use in such a program as that would be one of the benzodiazepines for slowing down the withdrawal so the person doesn't go into the DTs.
345-5858, if you have a question for Dr. Jack Stringfellow about addiction and, of course, substance abuse. We don't have a whole lot of time left, but we'll take your call at 345-5858. And just so I'm clear, it just seems like the word alcoholism means something different to, if you ask 10 people, you'll get 10 different definitions of what alcoholism is. In today's world, what is alcoholism?
Let me go back to yesterday's world.
Okay.
There was a gentleman by the name of Bill Wilson, who is one of the co-founders of Alcoholics Anonymous. And in my book, he's the person who understood addictions the best ever.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I've heard that had come from his thoughts rings true to me. And what he said about alcoholism is that there are as many different forms of alcoholism as there are alcoholics. There is no one cookie cutter form of it.
Is there one thread that connects them all? Is there one aspect of it that...
Dependence.
Mm-hmm.
You could also say loss of control. Those are the two largest ones.
And a total lack of caring about anyone or anything else other than where you're going to get the next drink?
It tends to come down to that. That's one of the most insidious evils, so to say, around any kind of any form of addiction. It's a process of a person becoming more and more self-absorbed. And to be understanding of that, you kind of have to put yourself in the mindset of a person who has become addicted. You know, if an alcoholic doesn't get his alcohol, he's running the risk of DTs, he's running the risk of, you know, seizures, he's running the risk of death. If a person has become addicted to pain pills, to opiates, and the addiction is advanced, and if they don't get their opiates, they are going to get sicker than they've ever been in their entire life, and they're going to experience more pain than they've ever experienced in their entire life.
So the motivation is to get what you need.
Yeah, the motivation is to get what you need, and what happens is people get into a mind state where it feels to them like their survival is at stake here.
Mm-hmm.
You get somebody in a position where your survival is at stake, you're going to do whatever it takes.
Is that primal? Is that...
I think it is very primal, yes. You know, so you see people committing crimes they never would have committed. You see people prostituting themselves they never would have done, down to survival.
Back in a moment here on 58 WCHS. Again, Dr. Jack Stringfellow, our special guest this morning with Ask the Expert with the Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center. We'll give you the phone number and website and all that and locations in just a moment on WCHS.
WCHS!
The temperature's going up, but the prices are coming down. In the summer savings zone, only at Moses Factory Outlet, home of the giant tent sale. Stay in the zone and keep your cool with hundreds, even thousands of dollars off the vehicle of your choice. Look for the giant tent sale at either location of Moses Factory Outlet, just off the Taze Valley exit or on Corridor G for exclusive summer savings zone prices for a limited time only. Check out over 1,000 used vehicles to choose from in every make and model. Cars, trucks, SUVs, and fuel-efficient vehicles with special summer savings zone prices and the biggest trade-in allowances. Just say, show me the Carfax. And remember, the home of the giant tent sale is the home of no problem financing. And while you're here, register to win a $1,000 gift certificate to Walmart. No purchase necessary. So get in the zone, the summer savings zone, now at Moses Factory Outlet in Taze Valley and Moses Factory Outlet on Corridor G, home of the giant tent sale.
Live from Progressive.
Next on the line is Jake.
Hey, Flo. Years ago, I just went with my dad's auto insurance company. Could I be paying too much?
Maybe, but when we compare Progressive direct rates to other top companies, you could save hundreds.
Hundreds!
Hundreds!
Hundreds! Is there an echo in here?
Compare and save. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or go to progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
How refreshing is summer vacation at Snowshoe Mountain Resort? It's crisp, like mountain air, cool temperatures, and family-friendly activities to relax and rejuvenate you. It's a leisurely dip in Split Rock pools, an afternoon of fishing at Shavers Lake, or one of our new Green Zebra off-road tours. Visit SnowshoeMountain.com for affordable lodging packages and upcoming weekend events in August. Come play in our backyard this summer at Snowshoe Mountain Resort, Pocahontas County, Nature's Mountain Playground.
We are all out of time, but I want to give Dr. Jack Stringfellow the final word on addiction, and what would that be?
My final word would be, if you are involved with an addiction or if somebody who is close to you is in the grips of an addiction, it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's an expression of our natural reactions to certain substances.
Okay.
In some instances, it's related to genetics. What kind of heredity is behind you often.
So don't be ashamed to reach out for help.
Absolutely. Do not be ashamed to reach out for help, and there's plenty of help available.
Jeannie, give us a number again at the Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center.
205-WELL is the number. You can check us out on our website, kpcc.com, or just Google Kanawha Counseling, and we also have a Facebook page, and the phone number's 205-WELL.
All right. Jeannie Kay, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
It's been great. Thank
always,
you.
Dr. Jack Stringfellow, thank you, sir. Appreciate it very much.
Glad to be here.
That is Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center, and that's going to do it. Again, if you want to talk to them in the office, it is 205-WELL, 205-WELL, Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center. This is 58 WCHS.